is where I lay it down. Every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down. Every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. To do whatever you want to. And I will make room for you. Thank you.
question for you today. Is there room for Jesus in your life? Is there room for Jesus in your attention? Is there room for Jesus in your house? Are you making room for Jesus? That's what the song just said. I will make room for you. Amen. We know at the Christmas story that the inn, there was no room for Mary and Joseph to even have the birth of Jesus Christ. They had to stay in what was left over, a leftover place. I don't want Jesus to have to dwell in a leftover place in my life. I want to put him in the best place, the first place. Amen. I want to make room for him. And that's a brand new song. It's an awesome song for our church. And I'm just thankful for our music team bringing that to us today. You may be seated. If you're a guest here today, we just welcome you to Calvary Gospel Church. If this is your first time, we have a connection card. It's a little green card. Looks like the one on the screen that we'd have you to fill out. We'd just like to have a couple points of connection just to get to know you a little better. If you're visiting with us online, you can also do the same thing at that bit.ly/CGC connection card that you can do that on your PC or your phone. We have a small video we need to play. I almost skipped over it, but just watch for the video with us.
This is the vehicle that helps us navigate and facilitate the events that we believe here in the state of Wisconsin impact our children, our churches, and our families the most. It is only with your help that we're able to provide things such as junior Bible quizzing and junior camp, to do some of the things that we've tried to do over the course of the year as far as communicating via social media and getting hints and tips to families on how to navigate certain situations. We're very excited that last year we broke the all-time record that was set in 2008. We will continue to see God's blessing as he pours out upon the church. I believe that we as a district will continue to grow with your support and with your help. I implore you, please, this year, find it in your heart to continue to help us watch as God does what only he can do. I ask that you partner with us, your children's ministry team, through your SOC giving this year. And we thank you for your consideration. In Jesus' name, we are going to see the best year yet.
All right. Who loves our children? Who wants to save our children? Amen. Save Our Children offering goes to help all of the things about Sunday school in our district, in our state of Wisconsin, but it also benefits our camps for our junior campers. Anyone have kids in junior camp or any kids excited for junior camp this year? Let me hear you. It's going to be an awesome time. These funds go to help all of those things, and we're just thankful for I think the parents are still hoo-hooing. But yeah, these funds go to help that. And if you'd like to give, we have some giving options on the screen. You can give for our Sunday school offering to save our children, but you can also give online just for our normal church offering or tithes. You can give at CGCMadison.com/giving online. You can give in person if you want to drop off an offering in the clear acrylic box in the vestibule. You can also give by mail if you want to send it in to 5301 Commercial Avenue. Or you can give on our new mobile giving app, which is what I do, and it's really slick. As soon as I see the deposit of my check in the bank, I immediately go and I put my tithes in, and I'm just really thankful that that works so slick, and I don't have to worry or wait or did I do it or whatever. I can just see it, and it just happens just like that, and I really appreciate all the work and effort that Phil has put into getting us an awesome mobile app for our church. We are calling all volunteers. We are excited for this year's Bratfest. Woo! It's back this year. We're needing volunteers like never before. For every hour we volunteer at Bratfest, CGC gets funds allocated towards ministries here at our church. And so that goes to many ministries here at our church. Sign up week has already started. You can see Sister Kim Kanak for more information or hop right on our church center app and join the Bratfest Volunteers group. There's a little explanation, that little circle at the bottom of your app, if you tap on that, it'll go to other groups. If you tap on other groups, you'll see our very first other group as Bratfest in the list. So that's how you do it. Three taps and you're in there. You can volunteer for Bratfest really easy on the Church Center app. All right, one more announcement. Next Saturday, March 26th at 6 p.m. right here, the ladies are going to be having an indoor movie night. Oh, come on now. Someone said that the house was a giveaway about the movie, so maybe you guys can fill me in. The background image should tell you what we'll be showing, but they'll be meeting in the library 6 p.m. All right, let's all stand and go to the Lord in prayer for a few moments. If you come in with a need today, I would like for you to, if you wouldn't mind, we have just a minute or two extra for prayer. Let's just focus specifically on those folks that are here that have a need. If you have a need, would you just raise your hand to the Lord if you need prayer, if you need healing? Sister McKnight, would someone pray with Sister McKnight? Struggling with some situations in her life. Anybody else, just if you have a real urgent need right now in the name of Jesus, let's just pray and go to Lord in prayer right now. Lord Jesus, I ask you, God, that you will touch every situation in the sanctuary, God, that has been brought before you, God. They bring their cares and their worries, their burdens, oh God, their sicknesses, Lord Jesus, to you at this altar, God. We ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would walk among us, Lord Jesus. Lay your hand on the sick, Lord God. Touch them, Lord Jesus, as we pray, Lord God. We believe, oh Lord God, you're a healer, God, that you can do miraculous things, oh God. We trust you, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ on this sanctuary, on this body of believers, Lord God. We ask you, Lord Jesus, for your spirit to dwell among us today, Lord God. You'll bless the remainder of the service, oh God. You'll touch those that are sick in body today, Lord. You'll bless, oh God, those that are struggling with all different types of sicknesses, Lord Jesus. If they're struggling with depression, if they're struggling with whatever it is, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, be that healer, Lord God. We lift them up before you today, Lord Jesus. We praise you, God. We thank you, God. We honor you, Lord Jesus, for what you're going to do with the rest of the service, Lord. We thank you. We lift you up, Lord. We praise your name. We honor you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everyone said in Jesus' name, hallelujah.
And how many of you were here for the Sunday school lesson, adult lesson this morning? You heard from Pastor Phil about the importance of voluntary worship. And I can think of no better reason other than we are here today with the freedom to worship together as a body of believers that we may not have. We don't know what tomorrow may bring, so I would say let's take advantage of it. say you are awesome.
You are awesome. You are awesome. You are awesome.
Lord.
You are awesome.
Oh, 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 say.
You are awesome.
You are awesome. Lord.
You are awesome.
You are awesome. Lord.
You are awesome.
Yeah.
You are awesome.
You're awesome. Lord.
You are awesome.
Awesome,
you are awesome.
Oh, say.
You are awesome.
You are awesome.
You are awesome.
One more time, say.
You are awesome.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
We've heard from Pastor Roy many times. It is not time to get out of the boat. We need to stay in. There is no turning back for us. We are going to remain faithful. Faithful to Him and faithful to His Word.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So lift up your voice.
Lift up your voice and sing for joy. Clap your hands, make a joyful noise. Blow the trumpet and shout.
Come on in.
Praise Him for the victory. But I'm not too weak. No one turned back.
No.
Love. is not too strong, and I won't turn back.
No,
no, I won't turn back.
The mountain's high.
The mountain's high, but it's not too steep. The battle is rough, but it's not too weak, and I won't turn back.
No,
no, I won't turn back.
The road is hard.
The road is hard, but it's not too long. The enemy's here, but he's not too strong. I won't turn.
Say, I won't turn back.
I won't turn back.
No.
I won't turn back. I won't turn back now.
Now's not the time to leave, we're gonna say.
I won't turn back.
No.
I won't turn back.
No.
I'm not turning back. I come too far. I come too far. No matter what. I tell you, God is so good. Brother Phil did a tremendous job preaching about the blessings of God, and I'm so thankful. I'm so very thankful for the blessings. My wife and I last night, our prayer time, we just walked around our house. I just begin to thank God. I said, Lord, thank you. How many of you have a toaster at home? You know, you're better than 75% of the world that doesn't have a toaster. How many of you have coffee machines at home? Microwaves. Yeah, we look at TVs. Used to be 1, 2, 3. Now it's 5, 6. Computers, 1, 3. Now everybody in the family has a computer. You got an extra one. We are so blessed, but not just with material things. I am so blessed because I have you in my life, and I appreciate my brothers and sisters. You can be seated except for Jeffrey and Bianca. I'm not calling them out this morning other than next week will be their last Sunday here. And they have received job transfers to Phoenix, Arizona. And I'm a little jealous because I know what Phoenix weather's like in January. I also know what it's like in August. So it has been such, they have been such a blessing to this congregation. And we want to thank you so very much for that. And so if you get a chance, make sure you catch them this morning. But the next Sunday will be their last Sunday. So God bless you, and we wish you the best. And we expect you to come back once a year, visit. And when you come back, as Cecily and such, we want to see you up here. We want you to bless us with the talents God has given you. So you can be seated this morning, but thank you so very much. And if you're guests of ours, it's so great to have you here with us today. And we are in the middle of a series, and I hope this has been a blessing to you. And I don't know what your level of your relationship with God is this morning, but God desires to use people. And I want you to understand that. It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter what you've been through. God wants to use. And I found out in my life that God uses situations, circumstances, things that I've gone through in life, not only just to help reassure my life, but also those other people that I'm ministering with or talking with. And we've been doing a series on the power of your gifts. I firmly believe that every person on this planet, God has a purpose for their life. God has a plan for their life. Maybe here today you don't feel like you've discovered that purpose or you've figured out that plan. And I want to just encourage you, if you seek it out, you will find it. Now, we've been reading from the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. This was a letter that Paul had written to a church in Corinth. That was one of the churches that he helped found, and they were having some issues with the gifts of the Spirit. And so addressing this, we're going to just kind of read our passage, and then we're going to get into some things this morning. He says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be informed, or uninformed." So what he's saying here is, listen, there's no need for you to not understand this, because I'm going to explain it all to you. I don't want you to be uninformed about this. Skipping down to verse 4, he says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone." So this simply, he's saying that no matter what gift, no matter what service, no matter what variety of activity you are in God's kingdom, all of these gifts and all of this service and all of these activities, these ministries, all come from the same source. It's not me. He's saying, I don't give these to you. Your pastor doesn't give these to you. You don't go to Bible school to get these. These gifts come from God, that there may be no division in the body, but that all members may have the same care one for another. If one member suffers, all suffers together. If one is honored, we all rejoice together. Then he goes on and he asks the question. He points, he mentions a number of gifts. He talks about apostles and prophets and teachers, then miracles, then healing and helping and administrating and various kinds of tongues. And then he begins to ask a question, and this is very important that we understand. He's changing his tone a little bit here in his letter, and he's saying, "Are all apostles?" Question mark. So basically, does God call everyone to be an apostle? Question mark. Are all prophets? Question mark. Are all teachers? Question. Do all work miracles? Question. Do all possess gifts of healing? Question. Do all speak with tongues? Question. Do all interpret? Question. So Paul is saying and asking, are we all, does everyone here have the same gift? He's making it very clear that there are varieties of gifts, the same Spirit, varieties of service, the same Lord, varieties of activities or gifts or ministries, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Now, we closed out last Sunday with these thoughts. We talked about serving with excellence. And I mentioned there's a difference between perfection and excellence. God expects us to give our best and serve with excellence. We are not perfect. There's no one here that is perfect. So we need to serve with excellence. Now, we're going to take a closer look at the gifts this morning. So far, we've established in our first three lessons that Paul taught that we have different gifts. So that means what you have may not be the same as what I have. We may both have the same gift, but God is going to use your gift how he uses you. So we could all have half of us here or a third of us here. We could have the gift of teaching. I think I used Brother Luther as an example about teaching. We can have the same gift, but God is going to use that gift in Luther different than he uses that gift in me, because I'm preaching or teaching to a different audience, perhaps, than what Luther is teaching. So God is going to use us with the same gift, but in very different ways, very different dynamics. So we need to understand that. So according to the grace, we have different gifts according to the grace that's within us. Use them in proportion to our faith. So we've looked into Romans 12:6, where we find a list of gifts. We've talked about 1 Corinthians 12-14. And we've looked at Ephesians chapter 4. Now, we have discovered that the spiritual gifts are found in these three separate passages in the New Testament. Now, when we look at these gifts or these lists are not exactly identical. So they don't go through. There's some overlapping of Paul when he's writing to these various churches. These were all letters. He wrote a letter to the church in Rome. He wrote a letter to the church in Ephesus. We call them Ephesians. Just like we're called, we're in Madison, we're called Madisonians. Okay? So it would be as though he was writing a letter, maybe the first letter. So it would be First Madisonian to the people that live in Madison. Okay? So that's how these names, these books got their titles. So according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6, the Holy Spirit gives out the gifts as he or God deems necessary for the proper functioning of the church body. I have said this, I'm going to continue to say this, the gifts are not for your own private purpose. Okay? The gifts are for the edification, the building up of your brothers and sisters. All right, that's why. So these gifts can be organized in several different ways. So we're going to get into some of this morning, into the bare knuckles or the bare bones of this. So I'm going to use what is probably the most common grouping or the most common vernacular used when we talk about the gifts. Now, we find in Ephesians 4:11 and 1 Corinthians 2:29, we find what we would call establishing gifts. Now, listen to me. These gifts are used primarily for the planting and growing of churches. So listen to these gifts. We have apostles. That makes sense. If you're going to plant a church, you're going to grow a church. Apostle is someone who plants multiple churches. So we have missionaries. We call them missionaries. But our missionaries are also, they could be a missionary. They can also be an apostle. We have the Smiths here that are here this morning, and they are planting churches in the Caribbean. So they could be called a missionary, but they can also be an apostle. They can be evangelists because they evangelize, so they're out evangelizing. They can be pastoring a church, and they can be teaching to their church body. And from time to time, as a pastor, you feel God speaking to you in a prophetic tone, and you can actually fulfill the role of a prophetic or a prophet at specific times in your ministry. So you look at these. These are gifts. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastor, the teacher. These are primarily used for planting and growing churches. Now, we go into some next list of gifts. These are found. We could find these in Paul's writings to the church in Rome. In Romans 12, verses 6 through 8, he talks about some more gifts. He talks about prophecy. He brings that in again. He talks about service. He talks about teaching. He talks about encouragement. He talks about giving. Now, the gift of giving here is not necessarily, he's not specifically talking about tithing or offerings, but there's a gift of giving. We have folks in our congregation that I believe have this gift to where they see a need, they see a cause, and they say, you know what? God has blessed us. God has blessed our family. We're going to give above and beyond tithes and offerings. We're going to give and support this cause. When we give to save our children's offering, that is your gift of giving. So we have administration. I'm very thankful for the administrative staff we have here at Calvary Gospel Church. I'm thankful for the leadership. Leadership is a gift. Some people have that gift, and some people struggle with that gift. Then there's the gift of mercy. So we look at the gift of mercy. Now, these gifts are primarily used, now listen here, okay, are primarily used to organize and administrate the church so that the church may carry out its responsibilities as best as it is able to. You have some churches, you may say, this church is very well organized. You know why it's well organized? Because people are using their gift of administration and leadership as God intended it to function. You go to some places and it's not very well organized. I've been in church services where it's like, well, who's going to do song service tonight? Anybody here got a song? Anybody got a testimony? And it's just, you kind of feel like it's, yeah, okay, there's not a whole lot of thought went into this tonight. Well, maybe it's because they don't have anyone in their congregation that has this or is not exercising the gift of administration or leadership. So these are gifts that I just mentioned that are used to organize and administrate the church. Then we have the gift of wisdom. We have the gift of knowledge. The gift of faith, of healing, of miracles, prophecies mentioned again, helps, administration, leadership, distinguishing spirits or discernment, speaking in tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Now, these gifts are what we call ministry gifts. And these gifts are designed as tools. Remember I talked about this in our second lesson? We talked about the tools in our toolboxes. These are gifts or tools that God gives to us through the Holy Spirit to utilize for the ongoing ministry of the church. There's a big difference between administration of the church and ministry of the church. Administration can be a ministry of the church, but administration shouldn't be the key ministry. It is a part of. So you can see how that God has given his body a whole flutter, a toolbox of all kinds of various gifts. And as I said, I used a pair of channel locks as an example, because how a plumber uses channel locks will be different than how an electrician or a mechanic or a tinner will use channel locks. Drywallers, they don't ever use channel locks. In case you're a drywaller here, I didn't want to leave you out. Talking about trades people, okay, I grew up in the trades. I was a plumber, and the channel locks was our, I mean, other than a copper cutter, everywhere we went, our channel locks went with us, okay? Now, how I use that tool, how I use that ministry, how I use that gift may be much different than how you use your gift, okay? So, it goes without saying that congregations or the body of Christ, we are basically spiritually powerless and almost, I mean, ineffective if the members of the body do not freely and responsibly allow the Holy Spirit to manifest God's ministry and power through the gifts that he has given to us. What I'm saying here is we hinder ourselves if we don't use the gifts that God has given to us. It's our own fault if we don't use them. And it is my job as your pastor to, if you have gifts, to make sure that you use what you have been given and you use it for not just the glory of God, but for the also the edifying of the body. You use that gift to assist one another. It's not all about you here. It's about service. We talked about that last week. Now let's get some practical, we're going to get into some very practical guidelines on how to identify and unwrap the gifts that perhaps God has given to you. We're going to start off with something so basic here. I'm just going to throw this out. What exactly is a spiritual gift? All right? Now, we went through a list of them, and you say, well, Pastor, you just mentioned what they were. But I want to put it to you this way, because I think we struggle with this. A spiritual gift is a God-given ability that is to be distributed to individual Christians by the Holy Spirit that will allow him or her to work through their lives to help the church execute or help the body execute its mission here on earth. This is why God gives us gifts. What is the difference now? This is where we get a little bit confused in our minds. What's the difference between spiritual gifts and natural talents? Okay? Because natural talents are physical abilities to do special things. Sister Autumn Lutzgraff was over at our home yesterday, and we were talking about having her maybe help us with some decor, some painting. And Sister Autumn has a very natural talent of artist. She is a phenomenal artist. Now, you may say, well, she has a natural talent of that. But see, that can become a spiritual gift. Let me explain to you how this works. When we look at natural talent could be musical abilities. Natural talent could be carpentry. Natural talent could be mechanical aptitude. There are some brothers here that have tremendous mechanical aptitude. It just blows my mind at the things that they can figure out. It may be artistic skills. But listen closely here. Spiritual gifts are spiritual abilities to do certain things. And natural talents are often, listen, are often the vehicle through which God uses and which spiritual gifts can be used. We got that? This is very important. For example, a Christian vocalist, Brother Jeffrey, Sister Bianca, they may have a spiritual gift of, let's say, evangelism, that God has called them into the field of evangelism. Yet, it is being expressed through the vehicle of musical talent. See, this is how God uses our physical talents and abilities and blends them with the spiritual to create his body, to build his body, to edify his body, to use your physical talents and abilities in a spiritual manner. So, you have to ask yourself, then, are spiritual gifts the best sign of spirituality or maturity as a Christian? I've had people say, well, you know, Pastor, God's used me. I have a lot of gifts. But I just want to maybe break your bubble a little bit today that no, Christ-like maturity is not based upon the level or number of gifts you may have or possess. Remember we did that series on what can fruit do for you? It's online if you haven't heard that. It's a series on the fruit of the Spirit. So no, Christ-like maturity is primarily indicated by the manifestation of the fruits of the Spirit in your life, not by the presence of spiritual gifts in your life. A big, big difference. We like to boast about our maturity. Well, God's called me into the prophetics. So, you better be accurate on it. Remember, Old Testament, they stoned them. Don't know if I'd want to be a prophet in today's modern world. You might not. Your life expectancy might be very short if you went by Old Testament rules. But you see, a prophet's only a prophet if he's 100% accurate. If you're wrong one time, then there's something. If you're hearing from God, it should always be right, spot on. So we have to understand, God may choose. We have to listen carefully here. God may choose to his liking to actually use someone who is spiritually immature or a baby Christian, as we would call a new convert. God may use a new convert or someone new in the church or a baby, a young person, someone that we would not expect. God may use a 14-year-old where we're thinking it should be somebody that's much older. But don't mistake spiritual gifts being used in your life for being mature as a Christian. All right? So, new Christian, if you're new here, and maybe you're new in all of this, you may say, wow, I was used in a gift of tongues last night, so I must be spiritually mature. I must be spiritual. You see what Jesus says in Matthew 7:16? He says, for by their fruit, you're going to be known by your spiritual maturity, by the fruit you produce. That's it. That's how this works. It's not your gifts, but it's your fruits. It's very important here, folks. It's our fruit. So we have to be very careful. I've seen Satan try to imitate and counterfeit spiritual gifts. I've been in a lot of services where I have felt a check in the spirit. I've seen it on many occasions. But God has placed a checks and balances in all of this. So Satan can imitate certain things. Understand that. Satan can imitate certain things. Did you know Satan can imitate speaking in tongues? That's kind of a weak. You didn't expect me to say that, did you? I've heard Satan, I've heard demon-possessed people attempt to try to speak in tongues. The Antichrist is going to fool the entire world because of the miracles that he performs. So Satan can perform miracles. He's going to be allowed. I don't know when all of this, but understand there are some things that Satan can imitate. And it fools us. The Bible says that even the very, very elect are going to be fooled by some of his tactics. But one thing that Satan cannot imitate is the fruits of the Spirit. So if you want to know, is this accurate? Is this right? Is this correct? The checks and the balances are what fruit is the person using the gift giving? What fruit is coming out of that person? So this is where we have to understand. Satan cannot imitate the fruit of the Spirit. He simply can't. So does every believer, every Christian, every saint of God have a gift? My answer to that is a very resounding yes. I believe that every one of us here has at least one or more gifts of the Spirit that God desires to operate within us. Every Christian, we have to evaluate ourselves in terms of our God-given gifts. And Paul addresses this in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. So you may say, when do I receive my gifts? When do these gifts, when are these available to me? Do I have to go through 101 class? Do I have to go through 201 and 301? Do I have to sign a membership? How does this work? Now, there's really no clear-cut Bible teaching as to when we receive gifts of the Spirit. But most all of the evidence is going to point to salvation, that moment of salvation, that moment when God begins that process and repentance and baptism and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We call this growing in God. So the gift comes with the giver and is bestowed at conversion. So Paul, he tells a young convert, Timothy, in 2 Timothy verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 6, for this reason I remind you to fan the flame, or to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. Now, Timothy is a very young Christian at this time. So Paul is telling him that God has given you something at your conversion, and I want to remind you to fan the flame. Allow that passion that's within inside of you to grow and to flourish. Fan the flame, the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So he says, Timothy, I'm going to lay hands on you, and God is going to take this gift that he has given to you, and he's going to allow this to go from a cinder, a little ember, into a smoke, into a burst, into a flame. So Paul here is no doubt reminding Timothy of the process in which he has received certain gifts of the Spirit. Now you can ask the next question. You may say, well, can a believer have any gifts that he or she wants to have? Well, remember our text in 1 Corinthians 12, 29-31? The answer for that would have to be a no. Remember, the questions Paul was asking are all of you, or do all of you have any gift you want? He goes on to say that the Holy Spirit, God himself, gives out the gifts as he sees fit. We reference that in our readings in 1 Corinthians 12:7, 8, and 9, and verse 11. So this is why there's no prescribed way to get a gift, because how God gives Brother Lenny Smith his gift is going to be different than how he gives it to John Repka. We're all different, folks. We're all different. God uses gifts so much based upon, yes, some of our natural talents, but also some of our personalities. God gives us gifts based upon. God wants us to be successful at whatever level we are in his kingdom. So if you're just starting out, God wants you to be successful. If you've been here for 3 years, God wants you to be successful. If you've been here a decade, he wants you to be successful. If you've been here your whole life, he wants you to be a success. God wants the very best he can give to you. So to these, my last point, and I want to get this point in. The spiritual gifts come ready to operate. We've gotten gifts at Christmas time. Don't you love that? Ready to go. All you got to do is put batteries in it. You open it up and you can't even find the battery spot where you put batteries in it. I got one of these weather things that you have the little screen inside, you put the sensor outside, and I'm looking at this thing and I'm like, where in the world do the batteries even fit in here? So I had to go online. Thank God for Google. Somebody out there has had problems with this and is going to have some sort of a video showing me where the batteries are in this silly thing. So no, not they don't come packaged and all ready to roll. So that means when Brother Josh Stone was baptized and he came up out of that tank, that all of a sudden God just went and he was downloaded 15 spiritual gifts and they're all at A-plus level, ready to rock and roll. Get out there, Josh, and start prophesying. That's not how it works. Creation was a process. You know that? Everything God does in your life and in my life is a process. And I don't always like God's processes. But nevertheless, that is how it works because they are his gifts, after all. So the process, No, they don't come packaged and all ready to roll. Remember, our walk with God is one step at a time. So many of these gifts take time. Some of them take lots of time to mature and develop into their fullest potential. Or their fullest effectiveness within the body of Christ. But what happens a lot is that you feel that God has given you a gift. Now hear me out, okay? You feel that God has given you a gift and you try to exercise that gift in a public manner, perhaps in church, in a service, and there's a, perhaps we talk about tongues and interpretation. That's a gift. We're going to get into this more next week, but just as a precursor to that, the gift of tongues is a much easier gift to exercise than the gift of interpretation. Now, logic tells me that. I don't have to be a spiritual guru, because if I have a gift of tongues, that simply means nobody here has a clue as to what I'm saying. But if I have to stand up and interpret that gift of tongues, that's another story. Because we're all listening for the interpretation. And as soon as we hear the interpretation, the first thing that we do is we say, who's interpreting? How long they've been here? What's their status? Are they trustworthy? And then we begin to take the message and we begin to decipher, oops, he didn't say that word right. Oops. Yep, he stumbled a little bit there. Not real sure of himself. I wonder if this is really God. Now, you put yourself in that brother or sister's shoes trying to exercise a gift that God has. How are you? You can't practice this at home in front of the mirror. You can't go into your mirror on Saturday morning and say, okay, honey, come in here and throw out some tongues and I'm going to put an interpretation to it. You just can't do that. It doesn't work that way. So some of our gifts that God gives to us have a much higher level of scrutiny in the body. I feel like this is just me. I feel like that's why a lot of people, when they give an interpretation, they say, thus saith the Lord, because it puts some validity behind it. It doesn't matter to me if thus saith the Lord is there or not, because when that interpretation comes forth, I know immediately that God is seeking to speak to us. The minute we have the tongues, I know God is wanting to speak with us. So we shouldn't have to take and validify it. Is that even a word? Because God is if we're trying to exercise a gift, and I want to encourage all of those brothers and sisters that God desires to use in this capacity, don't give up on yourself. and don't give up on your gift, because we need that gift in the body of Christ today. I would rather hear an interpretation of someone that's struggling to interpret than have nothing at all come through from God. Because we know God's trying to speak by the tongues, but because there's no interpretation, that simply means someone that God has given this gift to feels embarrassed, or maybe somebody said something to them about, well, maybe next time you need to be more accurate. This is why it's so critical, church. This is so critical that we understand these gifts and how we are to use them, because our spiritual gifts, unfortunately, don't come well refined. They come in the rough. And there may be times in your life, you may be in your 40s now, and God is using you in a specific way, but when you turn 50, it may be your job changes, your ministry changes, and God decides he's going to use different gifts within you. So the same gifts you have today, you may not have a decade from now. You may have a total different set of gifts, because it's a process. And we're all growing, and we're all hopefully maturing in God. We're maturing not through our gifts, but we're maturing through our fruit. Let's stand. Every Christian, every believer is beholden to mature. It's our responsibility to mature his or her gifts. And listen to me now, and this every Christian should have the opportunity to use his or her gifts interdependently with others. And we read this, Paul writes to the church in Romans chapter 12, verse 4 and 5, "For just as each of us has one body with many members," he's talking about your physical body, we've got lots of digits, "For just as each one of us has one body but many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So my eye does something that my finger cannot do, and my ears do something that my toes cannot do. Every member of my body, every member, every digit of your body has a specific purpose. So in Christ, though many," this is so cool, "in Christ, though many," he's saying, in the body of Christ, there's many bodies, but it forms one body. One body. So when the Lord looks down here this morning, he doesn't see 175 bodies of Christ. He sees one body. This is my body of Christ in Madison, Wisconsin. This is awesome. And each member belongs to all the others. That means what you do affects everybody else. Decisions you make affect those around you. You better believe it makes a difference. You better believe it makes a difference. So what God has given to you, hear me now. What God has given to you is not for you, but is for those around you. This is why the gifts of the Spirit are so critical in the body of Christ today. So, where are you? What gifts has God given you? We've been praying. I want to encourage you to continue to pray. Whatever those gifts are, say, God, help me. Help me. Because it's critical to my brothers and sisters. Gift of encouragement. Gift of healing. Gift of administration. Gift of music. So many gifts that God's body needs to operate. And the larger we get, the more people that come, the more demand that is put on our gifts. I can't take care of 5,000 people, folks. Just telling you. We're going to have a revival, and God's going to send multitudes. There's going to be a lot of folks here that are going to have to step up and step into the gifts that God has given you. I'm not going to be the only voice that this community is going to hear. There's going to be voices all across this congregation, across this body, that's going to be ministering to a community. God wants to use you. He wants to use your gift. I struggled for so long not wanting to use, looking at the gift more as a liability than a blessing. And I know how it works. I buried myself into my job. I buried myself into a career of plumbing, and I was going to be the best that I could be. And if God's going to use me, he's going to have to use me through plumbing. Well, here I am. What gift is it that you have that your brother or sister, they don't need the same gift? They need to be a recipient of the gift. So as our worship team sings this morning, I just want to open up this altar. It's a time for we can come down and we can pray. Don't be afraid to exercise that gift. If God's given you the gift of encouragement, you know, brother or sister that's struggling. God wants us to use that gift to go to that brother or go to that sister.
Still your mercy remains.
just want to encourage you as you leave today, make sure you check in with Brother Jeffrey and Sister Bianca. Let them know you appreciate their ministry here. They've been such a blessing. And thank you again, Jeffrey and Bianca. God bless you on your travels. Keep you safe. But also, remember, don't be afraid to ask you to think of one or two gifts that God, you feel God wants to use you in. Take those gifts and write them down. Sometimes just doing a word study in Scripture helps us to better understand. There's nothing wrong with talking to an elder or advice from a pastor. That's what we're here for. I want to see us become the best that God can make us be. Every one of us. And I long for the day when we have a congregation that's operating, never probably operate at 100%, but we're operating to the fullest of our capacity with the tools that God has given to us to use. So love you all. Appreciate you all. It's supposed to be a beautiful, beautiful day out there today. Enjoy your day. Remember Wednesday evening, we're talking about dealing with offenses, sticks and stones. We'll be covering starting our second point in that series. And God bless you. Love you all. Appreciate you. Great job to our Brother Derek, to our worship team today. Thank you so very much. God bless you.